Before I begin the lesson this morning, I want to stop and have some prayer. Mike and Judy Foster's second oldest grandson, Nathan, was in a dirt bike accident Friday evening. Saturday morning. And he was injured very seriously. He's got the artery that goes to his arm was severed, and they had to do surgery, take an artery out of his leg and put it there. He's got his bones in his shoulder all shattered, his vertebrae shattered. He's just got a tremendous amount of some very serious injuries. He's in stable condition over at VCU Hospital in Charlottesville. He's got a long road ahead of him. And obviously there's a tremendous amount of concern for his situation. And so before we begin our lesson this morning, I want to take him before the Lord. Let's pray together. Our God and Father, we come before you this morning, and Father, we just honor you as our God, and we love you, and we know that you love us. And Father, this morning, right now, we come before you and bring a petition before you on behalf of Nathan and on behalf of Mike and Judy and all of their family, Father. We lift up Nathan before you, and Father, as serious as his injuries are, we thank you that he has survived this accident. And Father, we would ask your blessing upon him. We would pray for his healing. Father, we know that it will be a long road for him, and there will be many surgeries involved. And Father, we just pray for your intervention in his life right now. We pray for guidance for those that are caring for him. Father, that all the care that he gets will work towards helping him and will work towards his good and his benefit. Father, we pray that through all of this, more and more of his family will come to know you and will seek you out in their lives. Father, we just bring this whole family before you and ask for your power in their lives. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right. We have been talking about building a house of prayer, making this place a house of prayer to the Lord. And we've been looking at a lot of different things to do and ways that we can go about making this more and more of a house of prayer. And, I think we've come a long way. When I stop and I think about and I look at and I see the way that God has answered so many prayers already for us, I'm not surprised, okay? I'm not surprised that God has answered our prayers. The reason I'm not surprised is because He promises to do that, as we've been seeing, okay? But I tell you, it's wonderful, isn't it? It really, really is. And it shows us how much God does love us and how He wants to bless our lives. And we need to just continue to reach out to Him and invite Him more and more into our lives. Last week we were talking about the idea that sometimes we can find ourselves praying the lottery, where we kind of look at prayer as being, you know, this chance. You know, I don't have a chance in a million of God answering this prayer. And hopefully we've learned from that prayer is not, should not be based on chance, but it's based on promise. That God has promised to bless our lives. And that needs to be the basis for our prayers, to go to Him and ask Him to bless us and to keep His promises in our lives. But you know, there's another aspect of prayer that I think sometimes causes us some problems, and that is that I think it's the place from which we can find ourselves praying if we're not careful. And that place that I'm referring to is in the dark. That sometimes if we're not careful, we can actually be praying in the dark. What we need to understand to begin with is that Jesus is light. You see? The Bible tells us that Jesus is light. And I want you to listen to two passages. I've got some guys are going to stand and read these two passages for you. Listen to what the Bible says about Jesus and his relationship to light. Chuck, would you read for us, please? Shines in the darkness. The darkness has not understood it, but it shines anyway. You see? And the children living in darkness and seeing Jesus have seen a great light. Because Jesus is light. But you see, again, I think one of the problems that we have with prayer is that sometimes we're not praying from the light, we're praying from the darkness. We're in the dark when we're praying. And we need to take a good hard look at where we're standing when we're praying so that we make sure that we're praying in the light and not in the darkness. Turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to start there. Because one of the things that we have to understand about prayer is that we pray, listen to me, we pray from our walk. Okay? We pray from our walk. In 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, John says here, "This is the message we have heard from you, from him, and declare to you, God is," what? "Light." Okay? "And in him is" how much darkness? "None at all." Okay? You cannot find any darkness in God at all. It doesn't exist. You see? And then he goes on to say, verse 6, "If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son Jesus purifies us from all sin." You see, here's one of the things that we've got to understand. Since God is light, if we're in fellowship with God, we're going to be walking in the light, right? But we cannot be claiming to be in fellowship with him and at the same time be walking in light. It's not going to work. We have to actually be in fellowship with him. That is, we have to make sure that the way we're walking is in accordance with his will. If your walk is in the darkness, you need to understand this. If your walk is in the darkness, then so is everything else, including your prayers. You see, you cannot be walking in the darkness and be praying in the light. You see, we need to understand that if our claim doesn't match our aim, then our walk is to blame. Okay, you like that? I came up with that. Okay, I kind of like that too. You see, if your claim doesn't match your aim, your walk is to blame. Okay, so we need to take a serious look at where we're walking, you see, because that is going to be the position from which we are praying. If we're not living by the truth, then we're not walking in the light. We're rather, we are walking in the darkness. But if we are walking in the light, our life is going to show that. Jesus told us what? "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it" where? "On a stand, where it gives light to all who are in the house." And then he said this, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they might see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." We cannot do that if we're not in the light. You see? We've got to be in the light and letting then our light shine. And that only comes from God. By the way, we can't produce the light ourselves. You understand that? You see, because we're not the source of light. The source of light is, help me, it's God, okay? And so if we're not in fellowship with God, we don't have light and we can't produce light. You see? And I don't care how big of a flashlight you go out and buy, it is not the same thing. Okay? So we've got to be in fellowship with God, and we're walking in the light. If our walk is in the darkness, then we're going to be praying from the darkness. So we need to, if that's where we find ourselves, we need to come into the light. Okay? It's not what you claim. See? It's where you actually are. So this is a challenge for all of us, see, to check where we're praying from. Are you praying from the darkness or are you praying from the light? Now, the reason that we really need to seriously take a look at this is because when you begin to understand and remember, okay, remembrance is a good thing, okay, because it's a great motivator. And when you remember from whence you came, then that might help to motivate you not to want to go back there. You ever been to a bad restaurant before? Okay? Yeah, most of you have. You've been to a bad restaurant. And then, you know, it was a long time when you're back in that town or what have you. You went back and ate at the same place. Guess what you did? You forgot how bad it was the first time. Okay? All right? But if you don't forget, you're not ever going to go back to that restaurant again. You see? And so remembrance is a good thing. And the same thing is true when it comes to our life as to where we come from. Guess where you came from? You came from, I don't want to shock anybody here, okay? But just in case you think more highly of yourself than you are, you came from the darkness, brethren. Okay? Turn over in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. We've got to remember where it is that we came from. Because unless we remember that, we will never really appreciate where we are. Okay? Look at what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. He says, "For you were once," what? "Darkness." Okay? "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth," and find out what pleases the Lord. He goes on to say, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." So he says, now you are light in the Lord. Right? We've got to remember where it was that we came from. I came out of the darkness. I might have told you this before, but I was interviewing for a preaching job one time several years ago down in Louisiana, and the fellow that I was talking with, we were just sitting around talking, and he said, "Where were you before you became a Christian?" I said, "In sin." No. I mean, you know, he was talking about, you know, where did I physically live, but, you know, I just, you know, thought I was in sin. That's exactly where I was before I became a Christian. And the truth is, that's where all of us were before we became a Christian. We were in sin. We were in the darkness. But understand the working word here is what? Were. Okay? You were once darkness. Now, you are children of the light. Okay? And someone, you know, we might say it this way today. Act like it. Okay? Act like it. In other words, live that way. That's what he's saying here, right? Live like children of the light. And then, when you're living that way, you're living from the light where you belong, guess where your prayers are coming from now? They're coming from the light. You see, no longer coming from the dark. You see, Jesus, since Jesus is the light, The only way to get into the light is through Him. Agree? Agree? Amen. Okay. All right. Jesus Himself said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness. Okay? Will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8 and verse 12. I am the light of the world. And He calls upon us as His children to live in that light. Okay? And to be the light of the world, as we said a moment ago. Okay? Live as children of the light. When we're living that way, then our prayers are going to be coming from the light. But you know what? We can understand that up here. I mean, that's pretty easy stuff, isn't it? Pretty basic. We can understand those concepts. Okay? How do we get it down here? Okay. How do we get it to where we don't just know it, but we feel it and we're actually living it in our lives each day? I'm convinced that that has to come from us looking at these things with a whole different set of eyes. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. In the text that we began with this morning, Ephesians chapter 1, notice this prayer that Paul is praying about the church in Ephesus. And notice how this prayer, how powerful it is, and how we need to be having this prayer prayed for us. We need to be praying this for one another. Okay? Look at what he says here. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I would really appreciate it tremendously if you, and I mean this sincerely, if you would pray that prayer for me. Because I need to know Him better in my life. And I would deeply appreciate it if you would pray that prayer for me and as I'm praying for this church for the same thing. Notice what comes next. I like this. I really, really like this. He says, as he goes on, he says, I pray also, as if that wasn't enough, okay? I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. I pray also that you would know those things, that the eyes of your heart would be open. In other words, that you would see these things from the heart. You would feel them from the heart, not just know them in your brain. You see, a relationship with Jesus is not just intellectual. If that's all you have, then you're missing, I think, the best part. You see? And I think that's why he uses this language, that he's praying that the eyes of our heart might be enlightened, so that we can know those three things. The hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. It's the eyes of the heart. You see? When we're praying the Scriptures, and that's what we're talking about here, we need to be praying this prayer for one another. Okay? We really do. We need to be praying this for each other. For that spirit of wisdom and revelation, that God would give that to each one of us more and more so that we can know Him better. say, thus the relationship gets stronger and stronger, doesn't it? And that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. We need to be praying that for one another so that God will be able to enlighten us, not just with the knowledge of His Word, but we would be able to know that hope to which He has called us and know the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints and His incomparably great power for us who believe. See, I think the more that we know Him, the more we feel those three things. And that can't help, brethren, but to affect our prayer life. See? Can't help it. We've got to stop looking at everything with these eyes right here. And I think that so many times that's what we do. We're looking at stuff with only these eyes. And when we're doing that, then we're limiting what God can do in our lives. So, Paul here says, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. I mean, what an awesome thing. When we see with the eyes of our heart, then we stop looking at the impossibilities and we start seeing the possibilities of what God really can do. We really need to take a good hard look. And this is not just a one-time thing. And I think that's where sometimes we get into the danger. We go, oh yeah, I got baptized, I'm a Christian, so I'm in the light. That's not good enough. I don't know about you, but I have to do a check on myself every day. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we jump in and out of the light, okay? If we're walking in the light, that's our way of life every day. But I don't take that for granted, and neither should you. That's my point. You see? We've got to be looking at ourselves every day and to make sure that we're living the way that God wants us to be living and correcting what needs to be corrected so we don't look at ourselves one day and go, how did I get out here in the dark? You see? The only way we're really, really going to do that is when we open the eyes of our heart. Stop looking at things just with these eyes, at what we can see with our physical eyes. And look at things spiritually. Look at spiritual warfare and see what that really is and how Satan is attacking you every day. But then look at the armor that God has provided for you to help you be victorious in your daily battles. Open the eyes of our heart, so that we can see where we're really standing with God as we pray to Him. We're going to stand and sing the song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, as an invitation song. And I want to encourage you to really think about the words of that song as we sing it. Because when you're singing that song, you're asking God to do that for you. God, open the eyes of my heart, because I want to see You. Okay. And maybe as I've been talking this morning, and maybe as we've been worshiping God together this morning, there's somebody here this morning that's going, you know, I need some help in where I am, because where I am, I don't like it, because I recognize that I'm in the darkness. You can get out of the darkness and into the light this morning if that's what you need to do. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is Lord and you want Him to be Lord of your life, you're ready to make that commitment, then call upon Him as such. Repent of the sins that are separating you from God and keeping you in the darkness. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism and come into the light. If you're already a Christian, but maybe you're struggling, maybe there's something going on, that maybe it's a spiritual warfare that Satan's got you tangled up in some stuff and you need some help with it, then let us help you. Let's bring it before the Lord. I'll be up here in the front, and Ted, are you going to be in the back? And Ted will be back there in the back to receive anyone who, maybe if you'd like to go back there, you don't necessarily want to share what's on your heart with everyone else, you can go back and have a private prayer with him. But we want to be able to help you with whatever it is we can. So let's stand together and sing.